HBO listener mail list. Go to superhumanradio.com and join.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first half hour, I'll be joined by my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini, for this special episode of Science for Humans, and it couldn't come any at a better time. We're going to take a closer look at protein supplements, and on the heels of a recent yet another protein scandal, this is really a good discussion to have. Number two, we're going to be joined by Dr. Kristen Hope, to talk about the new discovery of a way to grow rare life-saving blood stem cells that could affect so many people who suffer blood-borne diseases and cancers. So that's later in the show. But without further ado,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Dr. J.
Carl, how we doing, man?
Wonderful, wonderful. How you doing?
Pretty good.
So, you know, we plan these shows in advance. Actually, Dr. Jeff scours numerous emails that we get from listeners constantly to select the shows. And this show was selected at the beginning of the month to do today. But it couldn't come at a better time because just a couple days ago, Adel Moussa and Anthony Roberts wrote about a study that looked at a variety of top-selling, big-name brand protein powders, only to find that the reported amino acid profiles on the label did not meet label claims when they were tested. So it just, you know, it's unbelievable the scrutiny that protein powder is under right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that I was thinking about this morning, getting ready for today, is, you know, athletes are so conscious, as we are, about what type of foods, you know, the quality, organic, you know, grass-fed beef. And then we go, oh, I need protein powder. Where's the cheapest place to buy it from? Why is that?
Do you know the number one reason I've been told by two of the largest suppliers to the more hardcore supplement buyer that they don't want to carry Thrive?
Really?
You know what the reason they cite?
Why?
I'm being honest when I'm saying this. I mean, I'm not trying to be insulting. Bodybuilders aren't going to select a protein powder that's more expensive. I don't care how good it is for them.
You know, and again, I just don't get it because again, you know, bodybuilders and athletes, you know, when I bodybuilded and now, I'm so, as I said, conscious about the quality of the food. Protein powder is food. You know, taking in these cheap cut proteins, you aren't getting what you're paying for. You know, some of them has been like only 10% of the label claim. So you got fillers, you know, maltodextrins, you've got sugars in there, dextrose. And of course, you know, adding cheap amino acids, they don't do anything toward muscle building. So, you know, again, if you're an athlete and you think that way, you need to get your head on straight because you need quality protein powder the same way as you need quality food. If you tell me that you can build quality muscle by eating Mickey D's filet fish, I'm sorry. It ain't going to happen.
Okay, so let's start out with this since it's timely. Explain the whole nature of protein spiking. They use specific amino acids that when those protein samples are tested using the standard test analysis approach, which is they burn the protein and look at the residue that's left over, they can actually hide how much protein is in that sample. What are the amino acids that they use for spiking specifically?
Well, like you said, you know, protein spiking has been going on for a long time. You know, it started years and years ago, but, you know, several years ago, the Chinese were adding melamine, which is used in a fertilizer because fertilizers, you need a high nitrogen content.
Right.
Same thing with amino acids. They have a high nitrogen content. So when we're talking about putting in amino acids, We're talking about the cheapest ones, and typically glycine, you know, or taurine. Now, that doesn't mean that those amino acids are no good. Those amino acids are good when used as an amino acid or an amino acid supplement. But will glycine build muscle? Will taurine build muscle? No, it's not a complete protein source. So what happens is when you run these Keidel tests, essentially you burn the protein and you test the nitrogen content. Anything that contains nitrogen can be put in there, and you then have to assume that, okay, it's supposed to be a protein powder. I have nitrogen. That equals high quality protein. But the people that were spiking these products are intelligent. You know, they know that these things will test out that way. So what started to happen is we started to use different types of analysis to actually look at the amino acid profile. We know what the amino acid profile for whey, for milk, for egg, looks like. So when you get a profile and you see that the glycine content is, you know, 700 times out of proportion, spiked. It doesn't occur that way naturally.
Right.
But for the most part, you can look at these protein powders, Carl, and you can see these crystals, floating in the powder. Well, what is that?
Right.
I'm trying to actually find a kitchen screen that people can just go buy these, try to screen it out, and if they get white crystals, shouldn't be in their protein. Not a protein.
Well, now
powder.
The only exception to that when we talk about Thrive is Thrive does have additional amino acids, freeform amino acids added to it. So we
but that's different.
No, yeah, no, I know. I just want to make sure somebody doesn't go, wait a minute, there's crystals in Thrive. No, we intend those to be in there.
No. When you add amino acids like we did to Thrive, there's a reason behind it. But guess what? That's not part of the protein claim.
Right.
You will see those amino acids quantified with how many milligrams of each one. And there's a reason why those are in there. But we're talking about when those amino acids are not on the label and they're trying to incorporate them as part of the label claim. Now, you know, in China or Canada, it's rampant. Most every one of the proteins in Canada are spiked. Every protein in Europe. And the reason is they don't test over there. They don't care. You know, in the USA, I've been talking about this for years and nobody wanted to listen to me until finally – a brave law firm have stepped up and they are out trying to clean the industry up.
I'm all for that. I really am.
Yeah, this is not, and I am too. You know, I mean, I don't like these troll suits, you know, where they're just suing
people. Okay, I gotta ask you a question, okay? I happen to know that you go to great pains to source proteins for your specialty powders, including Thrive, that you manufacture for us. And the reason you manufacture it for us is because we know that we can sell that product to the end user and feel rest assured of what we say is in it is in it. That's the reason why we have this relationship. Okay.
Right.
With that being said, it seems that there's two big players in the dairy protein industry. Big players. Okay. I'm not going to mention their names, but it's where everything, if you go back, eventually you find one of these players in the line of supply. So can we go back and say that any of those that are supplying the suppliers, so to speak, are going to be held culpable for this?
I think so. I mean, you know, you can't hide behind as a manufacturer or as a brand and go, oh, I didn't know. No, it's your responsibility to do your due diligence. If you haven't properly tested and identified the protein that you're buying is not good, then yeah, you're at fault, but so is that supplier.
Right.
But you know, the big problem is like you said, there are two big, cheese manufacturers in the USA, and most of the spiking right now is on whey because, again, people trying to get the cost down. For years, the price went way up, and that's the number one selling protein source. So, of course, everybody's trying to sell off a price. But most of these guys are buying from brokers. It doesn't even contain the manufacturer's bag any longer. But I'm telling you, it's not the suppliers that are adulterating this. It is the actual manufacturers themselves.
Okay.
The protein guys, their protein is free. When you make whey protein, when you make cheese, your byproduct is whey. You've made your money off of cheese. So anything you make off of whey is bonus.
Right.
So why would you put money into that, which would actually increase your cost?
Right.
Because now you got to buy amino acids. So again, it isn't happening. I've never seen one supply protein that has come in that has been adulterated, it is done at the manufacturer and the brand level. A lot of these brands, you know, have started their own little manufacturing, and the rest of them are going to all the cheapskate manufacturers that will do anything for a dime. I can't tell you the last 5 or 6 years, you know, people who have come to me and said, look, I want some protein, and can you, you know, put 5% or 10% or 30% glycine? Sure, I can do that. But I don't want to put it on the label. Absolutely not. Take a hike.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you want to claim it on the label because there's some therapeutic reason, like Thrive.
Yeah, we use glycine as part of the sweetener complex. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's great.
But it's,
I use
but
it
it's on the
time.
Label as part of the sweetener complex.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Dr. J, I want to go through this because I want to cover this, and we're going to, I want to go like bullet, okay? So
yep.
Let's identify different proteins. Whey protein concentrate, what is it?
So the most popular are the whey proteins. Whey protein is a byproduct when you make cheese. You got the curds and the whey. The curds go toward the cheese processing. The whey is useless in cheese manufacturing. So what happens is you now filter that. You know, whey contains a lot of lactose, a lot of fat, and some protein, typically about 12% protein. When it goes through that filtration process, basically we're filtering everything out, and we are trying to get the protein on a concentrate up to about 75 to 80%. Anything over 34% is actually considered a concentrate by USDA standards. Now you've got a liquid whey that's about 80%. You've got to dry it. So there's a variety of ways that you dry that whey into a powder, and now you have a whey concentrate. To get a whey isolate, you've got to filter it one more time because you're now looking at getting it from about an 80% protein up to a 90%, which is what's considered an isolate, is actually like 88 to 95 would be isolates.
Okay.
So you just filter it one more time. But that's where whey, any type of whey comes from. Now, the other milk proteins actually are manufactured from milk itself, where you can't make whey from milk. There is a way you can do it, but essentially, you know, to do it cost effectively, it comes from cheese manufacturing.
It's cheaper to have it be a byproduct of another process that you're getting paid for. Like,
yeah, I saw some buddies ad out there claiming that their whey isn't comes from cheese. It comes from milk. Therefore, it's better.
Yeah.
You know, it's whey. I mean.
Yeah. So casein and milk protein concentrates, those are the next two. So casein, when they say casein, there's lots of caseins. Micellar casein. But we also see calcium caseinate, which is a lot of people like to call casein. But isn't calcium caseinate just an inferior form of it's actually used in dairy, powdered dairy, isn't it?
It is. You know, I mean, there really isn't any casein. When you see casein, it's typically calcium caseinate, which, yeah, is a big dairy product. Most of the myocellular casein is rubbish because, again, it's about twice the cost of calcium caseinate, and we're seeing people are doing nothing more than putting calcium caseinate in, calling it myocellular. Very difficult
right.
to, you know, to detect that. So, again, scam. So I would stay away from all those. Sodium caseinate is another form. Now, those are just very slow absorbing proteins. Milk protein concentrates and isolate are a little bit faster absorbing than casein, but not as quick as your whey proteins and your whey protein isolates. Typically, a whey protein isolate is absorbed within about an hour. A concentrate is about 2 hours, so they're very quickly absorbed.
But milk protein concentrate, in my humble opinion, is a very, very overlooked, high-quality protein. And we use milk protein concentrate and whey protein concentrate in order to come up with the human breast milk model, if you will, because
yes.
I didn't want to use micellar casein because there's other stuff in milk protein concentrate that we don't want to strip out, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, we're looking at using the natural casein that occurs in milk proteins and whey proteins.
Right.
So again, we're not taking it out and then fortifying it and calcifying it, and then putting it back in. We're using what's naturally occurring, like you said, which is similar to breast milk. You know, the other types of protein, non-fat milk, not many people, you know, athletes use it because, again, it's only 34% protein. It's mostly lactose.
Right.
You see that more in the food industry or some of the
big box stores, you know, their meal replacement drinks contain non-fat milk because it's cheap.
Right. Is that just the powdered milk that our mothers used to buy from Carnation when milk supplies were being challenged?
Yep.
Wow.
It's just not that milk. You dry it, and now you get a powder. So, yeah, it's Carnation instant milk. And it's interesting because you can still buy Carnation milk off the grocery store shelf for a fraction of the price that these other guys are mixing some vitamins and some carbohydrates and sugar and then selling you as a meal replacement.
An MRP. I know. Isn't that funny? Listen, I want
to take... I'm not going to mention the Brads.
I want to take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the other players. Let's talk about egg. Let's talk about vegan proteins as well and anything else that fits into this mix. This is a perfect time to have this discussion. Dr. Jeff Galini, a man who knows the insides and outside of this industry for well over 30 years. So what he's telling you is true, folks. Stay tuned.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States. And are low heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending, Andro compounds. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors. A naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms. So sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Science for Humans. Dr. J is giving us the skinny on protein supplements so that we can all be educated consumers, because that's what it takes to make good decisions today. You have to understand more than just walking in and saying, hey, that looks like a good price. Okay, so what about egg whites? Back in the day, Dr. J, a lot of guys, even I want to say Rio Blair and those guys, they thought that egg protein was superior to all protein. Is it really that good?
I mean, egg protein is, but you got to remember back then, we didn't have whey proteins.
Right.
During the Blair. So eggs are a great amino acid profile. But when you look at the biological value, meaning how much am I actually absorbing, you know, egg whites aren't absorbed as well as like your whey proteins are. But other than that, it's a great source of protein. They're a little expensive. They typically don't taste well. So you don't really see, you know, I don't really see the advantage of just taking pure egg white protein anymore. If it's part of a mix, then okay, just from an absorption standpoint. But other than that, you don't see it much anymore.
So would you consider egg white protein a slow protein, like more like a casein, or do you see it as a fast protein, more like a whey?
No, it's a slower protein.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, both of us, we eat egg whites and egg in the morning. So again, it's a slower protein. So again, if you're looking for something a little bit slower absorption, that's great. Just remember, you know, it's about maybe half of the biological value is a whey protein. So sometimes you have to use a little bit more to get the same types of effects.
Okay, so now the next one is a controversial one, and that is soy protein. And the reason I say it's controversial is this. I've been told that back in the day when soy protein first hit the market, again, guys like Rio Blair and the folks over at the place that was in Pennsylvania, where the AAU came from. York Barbell, they were the ones that introduced soy protein back in the day. But what they discovered quickly was that soy protein did not digest easily in most of the people who used it. And it was only later on that we discovered that the enzyme trypsin, T-R-Y-P-S-I-N, is required as a protease enzyme to break down soy protein. A large portion of our population does not produce trypsin.
No, and I've never been a fan of soy protein. The other thing is it's not a complete protein. It's actually missing L-methionine. So you have to actually fortify that powder with L-methionine. Now you need to put it on the label, or else it's absolutely worthless as a protein supplement. But the other thing is, you know, because of the isoflavones, you know, I know a lot of guys who have, I'm not going to say they got gynecomastia from protein, but it surely didn't help their situation.
And you know, that's an important distinction. So there's a group of people who are thinking right now, yeah, but we've just learned that high methionine levels seem to be what's linked to the progressive aging effects of a high protein diet. And that's only in the face of not having enough glycine in the diet. But more importantly, what people don't realize is mTOR is not just stimulated by leucine. It's stimulated by methionine as well. So methionine is an anabolic amino acid. Learning how to mitigate any of the potential damaging effects of large amounts of methionine is the goal, not restricting methionine completely. Last one.
No, and
God, I'm sorry.
Grams, but you know, we're talking about grams,
yeah.
Not milligrams.
Yeah, no, I know.
The other proteins that I'm not a fan of, you know, wheat, barley, hemp,
right?
Mainly because gluten. You know, I just don't think they're very well absorbed. All the vegan proteins that I do like pea protein.
Yes, yes.
But again, it's a slower absorbing. But if you look at baby food, you know, that's why they have peas. Not to, you know, give the baby something that tastes terrible, but they're very easily absorbed. You know, nice soluble and insoluble fibers, good starch that you will normally find located, and then, you know, good quality protein. I'm using one straight from Montana here where we grow peas. We're the number one pea growing state and fractionating it right here. So, again, you know, getting close to the source. Is it better than whey and things? No, it's a different type of protein.
Right.
And, you know, if you take anything from this, none of these proteins are really better than the next. So you can't say whey is the best of all. It depends on what you're trying to do with it. Well, and what your goals are.
And it needs to be said that getting a high-quality pea protein may be more important and more critical than dairy protein. And here's why. Just this morning, one of the boards that I belong to, a woman posted that her son, who's a football player, started using 200 grams of pea protein a day, vegan protein a day. It was predominantly pea. And he is now in the hospital with a problem with his liver. And
you know why?
You know what? Just the way you got to make sure you're getting high quality dairy proteins. Don't just assume that because something says vegan that it's got a halo on it and everybody behind it was just peace loving and honest, because there are pea proteins out there that have stuff in them you don't want.
Carl, and right now all the pea proteins come from China because there is no fractionating happening in the USA. Canada and North Dakota are doing some 50% fractionation for the animal industry, but all of the human stuff, China's buying our peas. They're doing the processing. It's coming back over just pure rubbish, impurities, heavy metals, because their water and their quality control. That's why that kid was in the hospital. So even though I have pea protein, I don't use it because right now what's on the market is all coming out of China and it's very low quality.
Okay, so there's the summary of the discussion on protein, and this was a fantastic discussion. I want to thank you so much, Jeff, because this really was needed for everybody who buys protein powder.
Absolutely. So make sure, again, you know, don't go buy the cheapest. Things like Thrive Protein or EFX Sports, NF Pro, there's a reason why, not that we're trying to make a whole lot of money off of it, but quality costs. So just the way that you spend money changing your oil, you buy good cars, you buy good food, buy quality protein.
Yeah,
powders.
Don't skimp on that stuff. All right, Dr. J, we'll talk to you next week, brother.
Thanks, man. Take care, everybody.
All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about some new science that may have solved the problem of how we can easily reproduce red blood cells for people who have certain blood-borne diseases. This is going to save a lot of lives. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web. The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance-enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
I get a feeling there's going to be a riot.
Welcome back. You know, usually when we have somebody from McMaster's University, it's from Stu Phillips's lab, and we're talking about how to build muscle faster or how intermittent fasting doesn't affect catabolic and anabolic hormones. But today, the subject is going to be a little bit more serious. My next guest is Dr. Kristen Hope. How you doing, Dr. Hope?
I'm well, thanks.
And you're very appropriately named for being an assistant professor at the Biochemistry and Biomedical Services at McMaster's Stem Cell and Cancer Research Institute, because we need more hope in these areas, obviously. And your group recently, this was a multi-centered effort, right? But your group recently published a paper. Looking at perhaps a way to grow rare life-saving blood stem cells. So, before we talk about your paper, talk about what preceded it that led you to the feasibility of this research and what questions needed to be answered that you were looking for in this research.
Sure. So the reason that we embarked on this research study is because we have a strong interest in my laboratory on understanding how blood stem cells work. And we want to understand how these cells work because they are so important for a whole bunch of treatments, mostly for patients suffering from blood disorders or blood cancers. These are the stem cells that we can actually transplant into people to really give them a brand new blood system and, in essence, cure them of their disease. So they're very, very powerful cells. And we're trying to understand how they work so that we can make more of them. One of the major problems with blood stem cell transplantations right now is that we actually don't have enough of the cells that we need to make a transplant even possible. And the other issue that we face is actually finding the appropriate donors. So knowing how to manipulate stem cells and make more of them and the right type of stem cells we need is really an unmet clinical need. And our lab is really looking to try and advance our understanding of stem cells so that we can maybe meet that clinical need in the future. So what has been done prior to our own work is a lot of dissection of stem cell biology in mouse stem cells. And the mouse is a wonderful system to study blood stem cells. And I've used the mouse system myself. And we know a little bit about how blood stem cells work in the mouse because of a lot of amazing work that's been done in that system. So we have a few genes and proteins that we know regulate blood stem cells in the mouse. But what we don't know is what regulates human blood stem cells. So there's actually very, very few genes and proteins that we know of today that really are important for controlling human blood stem cell function. And that's where our study came in. We really wanted to take some of the work that's been done in the mouse and see if we can use some of those insights and identify important new regulators of human blood stem cells.
So this production of new stem cells, it happens in vivo now, right? I mean, people are having these things, especially like a baby is basically a stem cell party, right? And so
that's a really great expression. It's a stem cell party in babies, and that's very true. Stem cells are highly regenerative, and we find that in earlier humans, in babies and infants and in the embryo, yes, there's an awful lot of what we call self-renewal going on, and that's the process whereby a stem cell makes many copies of itself. So, yes, you're absolutely right. In an infant or in an embryo, stem cells are making many, many more copies of themselves. And so this process absolutely is ongoing. It's even ongoing as we speak in our bone marrow of the adult human, just not quite at the rate that we would see it in a younger person or in an infant.
Okay, so let's talk about the research itself. How was your research designed, and sure. what were the endpoints you were looking for?
Sure. So the first, we kind of embarked on this research with through a number of different stages. And the first stage was really to see what would happen when we modulate a protein that we were very interested in studying. And this is a protein that's known as Musashi 2. And so the first stage of our project was really to see when we turn this protein off or when we try and repress it, what happens to the stem cells. And the other question was, when we put more of it in, what happens to the stem cells? So you ask about endpoints. We work a lot with transplant-based experiments. And so because we're working with human blood stem cells that we actually get from umbilical cord blood, so this is blood that's very simple to harvest, no danger to the mom or baby. This is taken from the umbilical cord that connects the mom and baby at birth. And so we take the stem cells that are donated from the moms, and we use a variety of molecular tools to either repress our protein of interest, Musashi 2, or overexpress that protein. And then what we do is we take those stem cells where we've manipulated the Musashi 2 protein, and we put them into a mouse model that allows those blood stem cells to do their thing and to recapitulate the human blood system in that mouse. And in doing that, we can actually then really evaluate what was the potential of that stem cell to create a brand new blood system and what happened to that potential when we reduced Musashi 2 or when we overexpressed Musashi 2. And we can really follow up what happens to those hematopoietic or those blood grafts in those recipient mice. So that was the first stage of the experimentation.
Well, I have a question about Musashi 2 for a second.
Sure, of course.
Okay, why Musashi 2? What pointed you in that direction, number one? And number two, are there analogs to Musashi 2?
Great questions. Okay, so the first question is why? Why Musashi 2? So, and we have to go a little bit back in time here because I've been in my lab here at McMaster for about 5.5 years, but prior to that, I did a postdoctoral fellowship with an investigator in Montreal. And my field of study there was, as I mentioned, mouse blood stem cells. And I did what's called an RNA interference screen. This is a fancy word for saying I was trying to find new regulators of blood stem cells. In the mouse system, during my postdoctoral studies, I identified the Musashi 2 protein as a brand new regulator of stem cells in the mouse.
Bravo.
So thank you. So when I started my own group here at McMaster, I was very interested in seeing whether or not MSI2, Musashi 2, also had an important role in the human blood system. Because as I mentioned, very few people are really able to study human blood stem cells effectively, and we don't know much about how they work. And that's why we really decided to look more closely at Musashi 2 in the human blood system. In terms of analogs, the Musashi family has two members. So we have Musashi 2, and we have its sister protein, Musashi 1. And the important thing to remember about these proteins is that they're pretty unique in the sense that most stem cell regulators that we study influence gene transcription. Mm-hmm. So they work on the DNA and they make RNA intermediates. RNA binding proteins like Musashi 2 do something very different. They work at a later stage of gene expression control. And that's why I was also very intrigued by studying MSI2 or Musashi 2 because of the very special way that it functions. So I hope that answers that question.
Yes, it does. And then, are there any analogs to Musashi 2? Because, you know, I'm a firm believer that A, we die with a lot of unused stem cells, number one. And B, those stem cells could be deployed if certain things were done, the presence of certain signals, if you will, neonatal genes turn on or off and so on, and the presence of other things, that these proteins, like you're talking about, very intriguing because, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're produced in the endoplasmic reticulum as part of the messaging system from cell to cell, right? I mean, these proteins are folded and assembled in a certain syntax to send a signal. So there's got to be something that tells the body to produce this. So I'm wondering if there are analogs or pro-Musashi 2 mechanisms that we know about that could also be identified and perhaps manipulated upstream.
That's an excellent question, and this is actually a very open line of investigation in my own lab, is what controls MSI, what controls Musashi 2? Or as you have put it, is there something that behaves similarly to Musashi 2? Can we identify a compound, a drug, another protein that functions in a similar way or that turns on the same pathways? So we are actively looking at some of the signaling pathways that we think are upstream of turning on the Musashi 2 protein itself. And we've come across a number of different candidate proteins that I can't tell you about right now because it's not published work.
Okay.
But we have hit upon a few proteins that we do believe are upstream of Musashi 2 activation that I think will be very promising for some of the ideas that you're talking about. In other words, can we give a person a special compound or drug that stimulates stem cell production when we need them to produce more stem cells, for example, and then we would take that drug away when those stem cells have been made in the appropriate numbers. Yeah, it's a great idea, great question.
Yeah, I mean, that ultimately, and obviously that's some sort of existing biological function that once you unlock that, there'll be lots of ways to address that. One could be a drug therapy, but the other one just could be doing certain things that align a series of mechanisms that make you more prone to having this effect. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. This is really going to get intriguing. I like this sort of stuff. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Nobel Prize-winning research shows telomeres are an important part of preventing cellular aging. Slowing down telomere shortenings promotes healthy cell replication and longevity. This is simple, folks. Supplement today with the longevity breakthrough of the century, Telos 95. Telos 95 provides the only scientifically validated telomere support ingredient in every capsule. Save 15% off when you use the code TELOS95. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Telos 95 button. banner ad. Age better with Telos 95, the cutting-edge technology that's a leap forward in the science of aging with research that was conducted by world experts on telomere analysis using worldwide patented technology.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I have to apologize to the audience and the guest because Elisa just texted me and said, "Are you chewing gum?" I said, "Oh my God, I am." She said, "I can hear you chewing your gum." So I apologize to all of you. I was annoying. I took the gum out of my mouth. I had forgotten I had it. I just get so geeked out when we talk about science that I forget where I am and what I'm doing. So we're talking with Dr. Kristen Hope. We're talking about a way to manufacture red blood cells, very rare types of cells that that could actually help people with a lot of bloodborne diseases and bloodborne cancers. So talk about the research itself. So when you started to manipulate the Musashi 2 protein, what did you see in the ability to produce more of these red blood stem cells?
So what the first thing we encountered was that when we repressed the Musashi 2 protein in these stem cells, they were really impaired in their ability to make a new blood system in the transplanted mice. So they really were not behaving as stem cells should. That was really evidence to us that they desperately needed Musashi 2 to behave as stem cells should. So that was a striking finding. And then the other thing, of course, that we found when we put more of it in was basically the opposite. We were encountering situations where we were seeing gene expression changes that were consistent with us having made many more stem cells. And so that was very exciting to us because of this problem that I mentioned clinically, where we actually have really serious deficits in the numbers of stem cells that we need for certain patients to receive transplants. So we were very excited about the fact that we were able to take this protein and put more of it into these important cells and essentially make many, many more of them than we had to begin
with.
But
you're starting out, so I just want to make sure I'm clear about something. So you're starting out with a type of progenitor stem cell, right? And by adding the Musashi to protein, more of them are, I guess what I'm trying to wrap my head around is, what are we talking about as the building blocks to these rare stem cells? Are they being assembled from raw materials by the Musashi protein, or are we taking other types of cells and converting them into these stem cells?
No, that's a great question. So to answer your question effectively, I have to give you a little bit of background.
Please.
Because one of the problems when I talk about not being able to get enough stem cells, for other types of stem cells that we know of, you can put these cells in a culture dish and you can grow buckets of them. Mm-hmm. You can grow them very effectively in that culture dish and you can make many, many millions of stem cells, let's say. For blood stem cells, we are not able to do this. These blood stem cells just will not grow for us in the culture setting.
Uh-huh.
And that makes things really, really hard, right? Because already I'm telling you, we can't get enough stem cells from a live donor, from a person, to transplant someone else. So it would be very simple to imagine taking the stem cells and putting them in culture and making many more of them to solve our problem. But again, we can't do that. We have not yet found the right growth factors or media conditions to keep those stem cells happy and self-renewing in culture. And that is actually the really major problem that we face right now in expanding stem cells. So that's why we were very excited when we put Musashi 2 into the stem cells, because all of a sudden that problem was solved. We were able to grow the cells beautifully in culture. They were expanding in their number. They were making new stem cells. And so now we had a scenario where we were actually able to make more of the stem cells, just as I mentioned, is really the, right. The whole quest of blood stem cell research right now is this idea of wanting to make more of these cells.
So are these cells normally manufactured in our bone marrow?
They are, yes. So the hematopoietic stem cells, the blood stem cells that we're talking about, they are found in a variety of sources in your body. They are very rich in the bone marrow for sure, and that's where they spend most of their time. They're also going to be present in fairly small numbers in your peripheral blood that runs through your veins and arteries. But they don't often leave the bone marrow space to go into your bloodstream. The other place we find blood stem cells, as I mentioned, are in the umbilical cord blood samples that come from the umbilical cord that we can harvest from live births, for example.
Right. And so I donate blood every 2 months. I started doing this, and I'm doing it for a total of 13 months, I believe. We did the math, how many blood donations I'll have to give, given the fact that my blood, my vascular system is a closed system, and my goal is to have as much new blood in my veins as possible. Because I'm going to be 58 years old, so you know, we've done shows about the effects of planned phlebotomy before. There seems to be some real good evidence about some benefits. And one of the things that I keep saying to people is that every time my body has to produce all this new red blood, that it's releasing lots of these wonderful stem cells from bone marrow that can then maybe go out and do different things and differentiate and maybe repair tissue as opposed to them not happening at all. So when these stem cells are released from bone marrow, for instance,
yeah.
do they require yet something else to help them differentiate, or are they ready to become hematopoietic? Are they already ready to become blood and that's it?
Yeah, so the blood stem cells, the only thing that they really have the potential to become is another type of blood cell.
Mm-hmm.
So It's kind of like a family tree. It's kind of like the granddaddy's stem cell or the great-great-granddaddy's stem cell that sits at the top of the blood stem cell family tree. And that cell is responsible for making all of the progeny, all of the daughters and sons and cousins, and everything that comes afterwards is made ultimately by that stem cell that sits at the top of that tree, as it were. So when you have a stem cell in the bone marrow, it's making more of itself, definitely, and that's an important property of stem cells, but it's also making all of those other beautiful blood cell types like red blood cells, T cells, B cells that are your major immune cells that fight off infection and bacterial contaminations. You make platelets. You're making, obviously, red blood cells, as I mentioned, which is carrying the oxygen around your body. You're making all sorts of different other types of immune cells like megakaryocytes, neutrophils, granulocytes, all of which have separate functions in your blood system. So those mature cells that I just mentioned are ultimately made by that all-important stem cell.
Very interesting. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about what this could potentially change as we look at treating some of these blood-borne diseases. Stay tuned.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Nobel Prize-winning research shows telomeres are an important part of preventing cellular aging. Slowing down telomere shortenings promotes healthy cell replication and longevity. This is simple, folks. Supplement today with the longevity breakthrough of the century, Telos 95. Telos 95 provides the only scientifically validated telomere support ingredient in every capsule. Save 15% off when you use the code TELOS95. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Telos 95 banner ad. Age better with Telos 95, the cutting-edge technology that's a leap forward in the science of aging, with research that was conducted by world experts on telomere analysis using worldwide patented technology.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. In the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit ironmaglabs.com. ironmaglabs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Kristen Hope. We're talking about a new method of producing rare blood stem cells that will be the answer to a lot of bloodborne conditions and diseases. So just go through the short list of the types of bloodborne diseases and bloodborne cancers that we would see a positive impact from the ability to mass produce and have an abundance of these stem cells.
Sure. So typically what the person that's going to receive a blood stem cell transplant is going to be someone that's suffering from a disease of the blood. So that could be a cancer of the blood, so a leukemia, and there are different types of leukemias, many different types, leukemias, lymphomas, sickle cell anemias, other types of anemias, which are actually defects in not producing enough of certain types of blood cells, and some autoimmune disorders as well. So anything where the immune system is impaired becomes this, a patient with that type of a disease becomes a candidate for this type of a transplant. And what is typically done is that their own diseased blood system is first diminished with some sort of chemo or radiotherapy, at which point then there is room in that individual to take in those new blood stem cells, the healthy blood stem cells, and there's room for those stem cells to grow and replenish the bone marrow of that patient with a brand new healthy blood system.
That's amazing. Okay. First of all, when I was in California recently, I was discussing new methodologies for treating leukemia with a doctor, and I learned, and I may have misunderstood what he said, it was over dinner, but there are actually machines now that are kind of they take the blood, they heat it, they apply chemotherapy to it, then they filter the chemo out and they put the blood back into the patient in treating certain types of leukemia. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, so there's treatments that are known as purging. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that we're actually doing an autologous transplant, and that's a fancy way of saying we're taking the person's own cells and cleaning them out and then giving them back to that person once the leukemia cells have been taken away, in essence. So yes, that is definitely also a treatment. The only problem there, of course, is the possibility that you may not get rid of all of those leukemia cells and that you could be then giving the person back some leukemia that could then regrow.
Would the inclusion of these stem cells that you would be able to then produce in an abundance be a third phase of a therapy like that?
Yeah, I think the idea of finding a way to get yourself the best source of stem cells. So at that, for my money, that would be a source of stem cells that's completely devoid of any leukemia of any kind, and that matches the immune system of the recipient, of the person that we're transplanting into, and you had enough of those stem cells, you had many of those stem cells, that would be the ideal scenario where you could talk about really curing that person of their disease. No worries about reinfusing leukemia, right. No worries about severe immune mismatch and rejection of the normal blood stem cell graft. That would be the ideal scenario.
Okay, so now you said something that actually played into a question that I had in my mind, but I didn't know that if I was going to get to fit it in here. You know, we're learning a lot about the microbiome. And this is just as an aside, but we're learning that there is, you know, if you get microbes from a healthy host, the recipient ends up attaining some of those health benefits almost miraculously. Do stem cells come devoid with any impression? Do they carry anything over that we have to look at and say, as you just pointed out, okay, we would want stem cells from donors who fit this criteria because those are the best, and is there the possibility of rejection of stem cells because of things like certain immune system basics that we would have to monitor for and make sure that this meets that in the donor and the recipient?
Yes, absolutely. This is a really key part of matching up a donor sample with a person that needs that sample. So there are certain surface markers on the outside of all the cells in your blood system, definitely also on the blood stem cells. And those surface markers or antigens in your own body are not recognized by your blood system because they're your own. They're your self antigens. The problem becomes when you want to put your cells into someone else, if those surface markers are recognized as a foreign source by the person that you're putting those cells into, then they will be rejected. And the other problem that can happen is that sometimes we have situations where the cells that we're putting into another individual also have the ability to attack the cells of the recipient, of the patient, and that's a disease known as graft versus host disease, and it can be a very devastating disease. So this is why we want to make sure, if at all possible, that we're matching up the surface marker profile on the cells of the donor to the cells of the person that they're going into. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that's okay. What I, you know, we think of stem cells as being, you know, tabula rasa. You know, they're, oh, this clean slate, we make them whatever we want. They carry no attributes that, you know, from where they come from. They're completely malleable and we can do whatever we want with them. But clearly that's only true to an extent. So it sounds like a familial relationship for donor and host may be something that kind of weeds, at least gets you on the target, if you will. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. So that's the first layer in terms of finding a donor. Family members, siblings are looked at as a first stage, obviously, because the genetic relation, translates potentially to an immune relationship that's compatible as well. But very many times, your siblings are not a good enough match. Hmm. So they may be partially matched for some of those surface markers, but not for enough of them. And this is where we have to rely on large donor registries where patients look through those registries, or doctors would obviously do this, to find individuals that have donated their bone marrow or their cord blood, for example. And we would match or examine the surface marker profiles of those donated samples and see if they correlate with the immune system of the person that we're looking to find that sample for.
Okay, and you said there's small, albeit minuscule amounts in peripheral blood. Could these be isolated from just regular blood donation? If you have the ability to take, you know, small numbers of stem cells now and just have them replicate over and over again in a dish, so to speak, with the breakthrough that you've discovered and that you will continue to unfold, wouldn't you be able to align yourself with these banks that are already accumulating blood and say, look, we want to start to accumulate these types of blood stem cells as well?
Yeah, so we actually can transplant blood cells, stem cells that have been taken from the peripheral blood of a person. We do have to treat that person first with what's called a mobilizing agent. So we can actually coax the cells of a person to leave the bone marrow and actually pour out into the circulating blood system. Yeah, so there are a number of drugs that can do this, and they're called mobilizing agents. So there definitely is methodologies out there to mobilize those stem cells from a person, a donor, for example, and get them out into the peripheral blood, at which point then you can harvest just peripheral blood from that person and use those cells in your transplant. There are some deficiencies with blood stem cells taken from the peripheral blood. We seem to see more immune rejection, and we seem to see more graft versus host disease problems when we take peripheral blood stem cells as a source. So it's possible, and it is done, and I think our expansion methodology could be applied to those cells. But we find in clinical practice anyway that the cells that have one of the best behaviors upon transplant are actually those umbilical cord blood stem cells. Those are the stem cells that seem to be the most superior for achieving safe and effective transplant outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, and you can harvest that. I mean, my goodness, the baby being born every 5 seconds. I mean, if the parents knew that, hey, you know, donate some, keep some for yourself, because there's a lot of people that are cryogenically freezing that stuff now in case the baby has the disease when they're 40, they have that to go back to. I think that's very interesting. But I see what you're saying. And it makes perfect sense that the peripheral blood, like once the stem cell is kind of migrated into peripheral blood, it's going to start to attain some of the unique immune imprint of the carrier. So it makes perfect sense that peripheral blood seems to be not the best choice. It's already kind of not differentiating, but lack of better terms, taking on a unique biological personality. And that makes perfect sense that you have a harder time. Listen, what do you want both lay people and clinicians to take away from this most recent paper?
So I think, so this is something that as a basic scientist, this is a great question. And I think it's a very important question because, you know, you publish your work in journals that you hope your colleagues will read and appreciate. But ultimately, the work we do has to be taken to the larger public. We are doing this work for the larger good. And so it's so important to communicate what we've done and what does it mean for people and what does it not mean. We don't want to kind of overshoot the implications either. So we have to be very careful here. From my perspective, I would really like people to get the fact that my group has really tried to get a better understanding of how these cells work. And we think by getting that really nice detailed understanding of this regulator, this Musashi 2 regulator, and how it makes stem cells stay stem cells, we've unlocked an important key, and that key now offers up a whole new layer of investigation. So can we find drugs that modulate Musashi 2? Can we use those drugs to expand stem cells for patient therapies? So ultimately for me, it's that pipeline of developing the understanding first of the basic biology, and now we've unlocked, I think, a brand new set of experiments and avenues to pursue to actually, you know, fundamentally help people suffering from these really debilitating illnesses.
Yeah, no, this is really, really cool stuff. I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show today. I hope you had an enjoyable time.
I did. It was a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And listen, so as you have more research being published, you know, please reach out to Elisa and let's get you back on the show, okay?
Fabulous. I will do for sure.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks again.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending, Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
Iron Mag Labs, revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. So since I tore my tricep and I made an announcement earlier this week that when I did come back, I was going to be very different about my training, I've gotten such a wonderful outpouring of support, messages, emails, text messages from so many people. It's really overwhelming. I have to be honest with you. I mean, I literally just got two more while I was preparing to talk about this. Andrew Michael Barker posted on Facebook, old powerlifters never die, they just become bodybuilders. And Josh Field, who works over at Quest and is a bodybuilder and in fantastic shape. Guy is so handsome. He looks kind of like a very muscular, I can't think of this guy's name, the guy that was in Magic Mike. It'll come to me in a second. But anyway, I digress. And I really am. I mean, this has been, I've been really a little depressed, because I realize now that I'm aging. And I swore I wasn't going to age because of all the things that I do and how hard I work. But obviously, Injuries are starting to mount up now. My body is not responding to the training like it used to. I love to lift heavy stuff. It makes me feel good. I don't know. You know, maybe that's something wrong with me. Maybe it's something right with me. I don't know. But I haven't thought about training all week. And really, it's been very peaceful. I actually was singing a song today when I was driving to the studio. I told Elisa, I don't remember the last time I sang in a car while I was driving, because usually, you know, I hit the ground running in the morning. I got to get to the gym. I got to get my workout in. I got to get to the studio. I got to. And I'm always like rushing, and everything is about getting my meals in, getting my supplements in, you know, injecting peptides at the right time and all this other stuff. And this week has been like, okay, get to the studio and work and just chill. And if I want to eat, I eat. If I don't want to eat, I don't eat. And it's been very freeing. Very, very freeing, which tells me that I really need to, when I come back, I need to change, how and what training means to me. Rob Robertson posted on my wall this morning. I'm going to read it verbatim. He said, "Hey, Carl, great show. I really enjoyed what you had to say about taking a break from training and how feeling it way to your mind and in time your body. I have been going through a renaissance of my own when it comes to exercise, and now with your announcement, I am convinced that my thought process is on the right track. After 27 years of continued training, I know that this is a way of life, but I also know that it has developed into something very dark. And although a lot of people may not admit it or accept this, I think if they consider it deeply, they too will realize that training, in capitals, the word training, can become a horrible obsession. Even the word training for the average person who will never compete in bodybuilding or weightlifting events, I have to ask, what are you training for? But doesn't the word training sound very tough, very hard, very committed? I will now say to myself and anyone willing to listen, I am not training, I am exercising. This will create a whole new mindset for me. I can go into a gym or not go into the gym. I can go for a walk. I can ride a bike. I can go on a hike. I can go for a swim. It no longer matters. How liberating would that be? We are all committed, but as we age, I think we need to loosen up and live in the free state that you are describing. Enjoy other forms of exercise as well as the gym, or even for a short time instead of the gym. At the end of the day, we all want to be fit and healthy, even into old age, but it is necessary to lift and train to the point where nothing else seems to matter at the risk of body and soul." And I really do think balance is the key. If you're not a competitive bodybuilder, you know, if you're not a competitive bodybuilder, if you're not a competitive powerlifter, you're not a competitive Olympic lifter, if you're not a competitive, you know, CrossFitter, but you do these things to improve the quality of your life, doesn't that mean that it is supplemental to the quality of your life? And when it becomes the opposite, when it starts to impair, when it starts to make you obsess, when the fatigue and the energy expenditure of the work starts to bleed into the day and the next day and the next day and makes you, I mean, one of the things I realized the most is that I just don't feel stress. And we talked about this with Dr. Lee Breen, and he said psychological, but I vehemently disagree with him. When you go into the gym and crush yourself, like so many of us in this audience crush themselves, average people have no idea what we talk about when we say we train. You know, you have friends that you talk to, "Oh, yeah, I went to the gym today and I trained legs." "Oh, yeah, well, I went into the gym and trained legs too." And you know right off the bat, they're not talking about the same thing you're talking about. Unless you go into the gym and every session that you train, you run the risk of severe injury because you are incrementally pushing your body progressively deeper and deeper into a place that challenges it completely. Unless you do that day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out for years, you have no idea what stress and collateral trauma training can cause. The average person goes to the, I have friends that go into the gym and they don't, they can actually talk and text while they're working out. I'm trying not to let my pelvis tilt too far as the platform comes down on me with, you know, 30 plates on each side. And I don't do little quarter leg presses. My knees come down to my chest and back up again. And unless you are training with that intensity, with that level of extreme taxation on your body, then you don't understand when I say, wow, I'm not thinking about training and I haven't trained in a week and I feel so relaxed. It's unbelievable. So when I do come back, I am going to come back because I'm already wishing I could go to the gym. But part of the problem with my wishing going to the gym is I play out the ideas in my mind of the same things I've been doing, and that's going to be the hard part. Changing it is going to be the hard part. Being, you know, Aaron Singerman, who's got an amazing physique, he's youthful, he's young, he's so strong. He comes on and says, you know, I don't put more than 8 plates aside when I do leg presses anymore. And his legs look better than they've ever looked. So my journey, and I actually blogged about this yesterday, my journey is changing. And rightfully so. I have always identified, I have identified for a long time with being strong. It's really been great. It's been great to feel strong. It's been great the way the world reacts to you when you're strong. You know what I'm talking about. It gets very, very heady. It gets, it becomes part of who you are. I can still be strong, but I think it's time for me now to focus on the building of my body instead of workouts that, while they may be building strength and super compensation of strength, they may not be the best things for my body. I mean, look, I've got a compression in my lumbar spine. That was from squatting and deadlifting for how many years? And always heavy, nothing ever light. I tore my 2 attachments on my left hamstring, you know, doing a traditional deadlift session, but just something wasn't right with me that day. You know, I tore my bicep doing heavy rowing. Now I've torn, and that I was able to get away without surgery on those two. This one I can't. I've got a complete tear and a rupture of the tricep muscle that is going to require surgery. So I am not talking to those of you young guys and gals out there who still have plateaus to break, thresholds to walk past, walk over. I'm not talking to you. I say you go for it. You push yourself. You destroy the weights. Do it. I'm not saying, oh, you need to listen to me because I've just figured out that I am flipping aging and I just can't keep doing it anymore. I'm saying do it. Embrace it. Love it, because there may come a time when you can't anymore. But also be well-rounded enough to know that when you can't anymore, it doesn't mean you are less valuable. It doesn't mean that you're less of anything. It just means that you're shifting the way you train, nothing else. I used to say to Brooks Kubik, you know, when we talk about aging and changing the way we train, which I used to say it, but I wasn't living it, by the way. Now I'm having to live it. You know, we're always going through changes our whole life. I mean, we used to poop in diapers. We don't want to do that anymore. Nobody wants to go, oh, I used to poop in a diaper. I wish I could poop in a diaper again. Okay, so I'm not going to be squatting and deadlifting and doing the things that I used to do before by choice. I probably could keep doing them, but how many injuries will I have to sustain? And, you know, I think that right now I'm at a point in my life where the quality of life is as important as being strong. I'd say more important. But I think that they can coexist. So that's it. That's it for today's show. I'm glad that everybody who listened live. Thank you so much. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with casual. Tomorrow's Thursday. Oh, we got a great show. Anthony Roberts is going to be on tomorrow. And Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. You will not want to miss tomorrow's show. I can promise you. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.